Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Let's all stand together in God's presence, can we? I want us to just pray right now to our amazing God. The Bible says that when we pray, He bends His ear down toward us to hear our prayer. He inclines toward us. He leans over. What's that you say? You need healing? Tell me. What's that you say? You have a concern for your family? Tell me. Tell me, because nothing is impossible for your Father. Your Father loves you. Your Father cares about you. He wants to hear your cry. Father, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, we bring all of our needs, bring all of our dreams and our desires to you. You are amazing, God. We love you, Lord. We love to be in your house. We love to be together. We love to lift up our prayer before you. And Father, in this room right now, there are secret dreams and unspoken needs. There are hurts and aches and lacks. And so we bring them right now to you. I'm asking you to heal the sick right now in Jesus' name. Lord, touch our bodies from head to soul. I feel this, and I feel it, and I just remember this, Pastor Mike, about you, that you have pelvis problems. And I really felt like the Lord was saying right now in this room, a pelvis is being healed. I feel like someone's wrists, you have problems in your wrists. I'm believing God for healing right now for your life, right now. Lord, I pray wherever there is pain in this room, anywhere in our church, Lord, anywhere on this campus or our loved ones, we lift up a prayer to a mighty healing God. Miracles begin to flow right now in your presence, Lord. We receive with the hand of faith. We take it right now. We thank you, Lord. We pray for our loved ones, Lord, people that are lost and do not know you. Lord, I'm asking right now for a mighty revival to come and touch their hearts. I'm asking, Lord, for every person in this room to be confident and sure that their whole household will be saved. Lord, we claim that right now according to Acts 16:10. We claim our whole household salvation for all our families, Lord, to come to know you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your awesome love and your power in this moment. We give you all the praise, Lord, for what you are doing, the many answers to prayer, how you've fed us and clothed us and brought us thus far. Lord, you are an amazing, gracious God, and we know that you will continue to be faithful to us. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor this morning, Lord. We exalt you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do for us. We praise you now in the strong name of Jesus. And everyone with an amen in their spirit, let it come out of your mouth and say,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. He's a good God.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I want to welcome everybody in the sanctuary. There's a teaching outline right next to you. You can grab that if you want to have a record of all the scriptures that we're looking at. These outlines are also uploaded onto the website. You can follow us online, and we're glad if you're doing that today. If you're in the cafe, super excited that you're there enjoying the service at this time. We are going to have special prayer for anyone who needs prayer at the end of the service. If you're hurting today, if you need spiritual help, we have altar teams that will be here, elders and pastors that are always available to minister to you. But we're going to get into the Word of God, and our current series is called One Day. We're talking about hope in the end times. We've been going through topics in our church of the rapture, the return of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the general resurrection, and the resurrection of the saints at his return. And all of these topics that we're looking at are encouragement to help us to understand that one day this world is going to be fixed. Aren't you glad to know that? Aren't you glad to know that we're not on our own? That even as crazy as the world is right now, and it's crazy, baby, I mean, it is, just listen to the news. And I mean, there are some serious problems in the world, and there have been for a long, long time. But one day, Christ himself is going to return. And through the series that we read about in Scripture, the series of events, this world is going to be put right. Everything that's broken is going to be healed. Everything that is wounded is going to be redeemed. Everything has an opportunity to be remade, reborn, and revived. And that's what I want to talk about today, because the end time events are, you know, they're a puzzle. We don't know exactly how all these things are going to happen. We have a firm idea on certain things, but how everything fits together, still a subject of discussion and faith and opinion. But one thing we know, that revival is a part. And it's probably the most exciting piece, next to the actual return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. If we're talking about end time events, to me, one of the most exciting pieces of that end time puzzle is something called worldwide revival. And maybe you didn't know that revival is coming. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you just thought the world's just going to get darker and darker and darker until the Antichrist takes over and stamps all of our foreheads with barcode readers, and you know we all have to hide under the couch and hope that Jesus will rapture us quickly, right? But actually, revival is a part of what God has scheduled for the earth. So how many would like to hear something about revival in the end times? All right, that's what we're going to talk about today. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's read this verse out loud and just kind of be the church that confesses and declares the word of God. Let's read together. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the what? Early and the latter. Until he receives the what? The early and the latter rain. I'm going to do my best to explain all of this to you and unpack this for you. This is a verse about the return of Jesus and the worldwide revival that he has scheduled for us. And what I'm going to bring us to is a very simple truth this morning, that before Christ's return, that we can live in hope. We can live a dynamic, vibrant, hope-filled life, knowing that one day revival and harvest are going to flood planet Earth. Now I'm going to give this to you in the scripture, starting in James chapter 5 and going all through the Bible. So let's follow along and pray for Pastor that he could stay on track and finish his message, okay? Because I really want you to get all of this together. Now here's what James is saying. He's basically saying, this is a simple message. He's saying before Christ's return, two things are going to happen. Before Christ's return, James wants us to be encouraged, but he also wants us to be patient about something, because he said two things are going to happen, and I want you to watch for it, he's saying, as the Lord's coming gets closer and closer. The first thing that he's hinting at in this verse is that before Christ's return, there is going to be a worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, this again is not just something I sense or I believe. This is something so clearly taught in Scripture. And much of this teaching is based on the prophecy of the prophet Joel, chapter 2. And I want us to look at that verse, because this is the verse that James is almost quoting. So James chapter 5, the brother of the Lord Jesus, he's an apostle, and he is quoting from the ancient Scripture, in the book of Joel, and this is the verse that he quotes. Verse 23 in chapter 2, "Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain," everyone say former rain,
former rain.
"And the what?
Latter rain."
Now, we read that, right? Didn't we, in James chapter 5, where James says, "My brothers, be patient now, because the Lord is the one who sends the former rain and the latter rain." He's talking specifically about the end times and the coming of the Lord. What's going on here with this verse? What is all this stuff about rain, former rain and latter rain? James is actually looking back to the prophet Joel for an understanding of what would be happening in the end times. And what he's saying is there's going to be revival in the end times, which will come like rain. The Bible message of rain is a metaphor for refreshing and revival and outpouring. So when James and Joel speak about rain, they're not just talking about natural rain, which is important, of course, but talking about spiritual rain, which is an outpouring of blessing. Like Ezekiel said, there shall be showers of blessings. God desires to pour out showers of blessings and revival upon us in this hour. Now, when we're talking about revival, former rain revival, latter rain revival, what is revival? I don't want to get real sidetracked on this message of revival and what it is, because a lot of people think that revival is something you can schedule, you know, like August 24th through 29th, we're scheduling revival services. Let's go over to such and such a church, they're having revival services. But revival is more than that. And I'm not even sure you can schedule revival, if I understand it correctly. Some people talk about phenomenon and unusual behaviors and gifts and anointings that will take place. Maybe revival is a feeling. It's something it's an excitement that we feel in our heart. What is actually revival? Revival is more than a feeling. It's more than a song we sing. It's more than a service that we go to. Revival is something special that comes from God. True revival, listen, is an awakening in the church that attracts the lost to Jesus. It's not a sense. It's not a feeling. It is something very specific. We see revival down through the history, beginning with the book of Acts and revivals that were in ancient Israel and revivals we've seen in our own nation and around the world. And invariably, they come in different ways and different feelings and different cultures and so on. But invariably, what a revival is, it's an awakening of us as God's people that is so forceful and is of such a quality in us that it results in other people outside of our faith being drawn to Jesus Christ. Now, that's an important thing, because if we think that we've had revival just because we had a really great service or we had a really great conference, that's not revival yet. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, we want God's power, and I believe there were healing miracles in this room today, and we're a prophetic church, and we believe in all that. But the end of revival cannot be us and a goosebump. The end of a true revival is about transforming society. It's not just a stirring or an awakening in the church. It's an awakening of you and I in a way that changes us and makes us capable of taking cities and nations for Jesus Christ, so that we become a part of a great movement that ends up in souls coming to Him. How many want to be a part of a revival? And so a lot of people will frame revivals in different ways and talk about revivals and characterize it. But let's stay focused now. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. God wants to wake us up in such a way that we permeate society and the world is never the same again. I was talking to somebody on the phone just a few days ago, and they basically said, I've been asleep for 20 years. They said, I haven't felt the presence of God in years and years and years. But she said, I'm waking up and I'm feeling and sensing God coming alive in my life again. How many think that's what every Christian should be experiencing all the time? We should be waking up our prayer lives, waking up our Bible reading, waking up our faith, waking up our worship in such a way that it becomes uncontrollable the way God's power will spread through our family and our city and our nation. That's revival. And that's what God is promising that He's going to do. Now, James talks about, and Joel talks about, the former rain and the latter rain. These are rain patterns in Israel. So here's my question for you. What do the rain patterns of Israel have to do with revival? What is God saying through these verses that we've been studying? Well, let me break this down for us so that we can understand what the rain pattern is, and then let's understand the significance of it. In the Holy Land, where Prophet Joel prophesied and where James lived, they had something called the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain was called an early rain, and it came in autumn time. That early rain came to germinate the seed that had been sown. So if you're not a farmer, and I'm not, but as I understand it, here's the way it works. Summertime is harvest time. That's when they come and they get the harvest and they cut the wheat and they bring the barley in and they get it. And that's what everybody's been waiting for, is that harvest time. But then once that harvest is reaped, the fields are bare again. And it's time to start planting seed again for the harvest that's going to come the next year. So they get their seed in the ground and they sow and they plant. But what does a seed need more than anything once it's been put in the ground? It needs water. It's not going to come alive until it germinates. And so what the prophets are talking about in Scripture, the early rain, right, or the former rain, that would come in autumn time. When everybody got their seed into the ground, then they would stand back and they would wait for the rains of heaven to fall and to water that seed that was in the ground. And something awesome would take place every time the rain would come. And that water would touch that seed that's in the ground, it would germinate. In other words, it would come alive. Something deep underneath the earth that's happening, where life is forming and power is being released. And pretty soon that seed would push up through the soil in a matter of weeks or months, whatever it was. It would begin to sprout and come up, and then they would see. And then as the rains would continue to come, that would water the crops. Now, sometimes it would get very scary, because once that early rain came, sometimes there would be dry seasons after that early rain came. And they would just be kind of standing saying, hey, God, you've got to keep it raining. It hasn't rained for 10 days or it hasn't rained for 2 weeks, and our harvest is about halfway there and it's germinated, and that's great, but we need to see that rain coming. Let me just say this to you prophetically, because this is a picture of the way God works in so many of our lives. Some of you, your life started with a beautiful autumn rain. Spiritually speaking, God poured out blessing upon you in those early days of your faith. And it was just a beautiful downpouring. You had an experience with God. But you've come into kind of a spotty season. Sometimes it's a time of blessing and sometimes it's a little bit dry. And you're saying, Lord, isn't there more? I mean, we started off so good. The rains came. That early rain was there. Early rain on my marriage. Seemed like it started right, but it's been dry. Early rain on my spiritual life. Seemed like it started so powerful, but then, got spotty. I don't know. Lord, am I in your will? This is the language that the prophets are using. What James is saying, what Joel is saying is, as surely as God poured out that early rain, that thing that kicked it off and got it started, there's another rain that's coming. This is the message. There's another rain that's coming. That latter rain. Everybody say latter rain. Now, what's the latter rain? The latter rain would come in the spring. This was the rain that came, and it was timed. The Lord is so gracious the way he provides. This rain would come upon the harvest that was almost ready, to give it that last final push to maturity, to bring that harvest, that grain, whatever it is. It's now standing. It's got a root system. It's strong. But now that latter rain would come. And here's the beauty about the latter rain. I'm going to get off the rain pattern in just a minute. Stay with me, all right? I know you're thinking about cheesesteaks. But that latter rain would come. And the thing about the latter rain is it was twice as strong as the former rain. Now, watch this. Spiritual people, listen to this. God is ready to do something spiritually speaking. After a dry season in history, after a spotty season, here a little, there a little, kind of things that the church started off really, really strong in the book of Acts. But God is promising through James and through Joel, he's saying, if you thought the early rain was awesome, he's saying, get ready for the latter rain, because a second rain is coming, just like in the seasons of Israel, and this one is going to be twice as strong as the early rain. Now, if we think about when was the early rain in church history, was there ever a time where there was revival and rain that came? Yes, of course, the book of Acts. Remember, the Holy Spirit was poured out The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Miracles and signs were... And sometimes we read the book of Acts and we say, oh, Lord, if we could just go back to the book of Acts, wouldn't that be awesome? And God is saying, that's nothing compared to what I'm going to do in the future. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was being poured out and spiritually the rain was falling upon those people in that upper room, and people were saying, what is going on? We've never seen anything like this. And Peter stood up and he said this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel when he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So Peter identifies the early church and the day of Pentecost as the initial outpouring. And it makes sense. The seed was in the ground, all that Jesus had taught and demonstrated for the church. His disciples were there. The seed was in the ground, and the Holy Spirit came and rained down upon the church, and life started to be formed. Something was germinated inside the church at that time, and we took root. And then there were times over the last 2,000 years, wonderful times of rain, but also some dry times. And this is what James says, my brethren, be patient. Be like a farmer who has experienced the former rain. He says, make sure that you understand that another rainstorm is coming, and it's going to be twice as strong. As we come to the end of time, as we come to the end, it's going to be twice as strong. Revival is going to be poured out. No wonder I'm not going to bore you with message after message of how Satan is taking over and all the things the enemy is going to do and how scared we all need to be. I'm so busy thinking about what God is scheduled for the end of time. I'm so busy thinking about how God is going to pour out his spirit. I don't even have to worry about the details of what the enemy is doing. My eyes are on the Lord. James didn't say, my brethren, hold on until the devil takes over. He says, you're in between rains right now. You're in between rains right now, and don't forget this. Stand strong, because that final rain is coming. It's going to bring the church to full maturity, and the harvest is going to be reaped, and the blessings from heaven are going to fall. Aren't you excited about that? I think somebody ought to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is exactly what the Bible means when it says, but for sure as I live, Numbers 14:21, all the earth shall be filled with the shining greatness, with the glory of the Lord. The Antichrist is not going to take over and run the show except for a short time. If you are in Christ, you're not going to be walking around with 666 tattooed on your forehead and everything else. You're going to be in revival and blessing and miracles that are twice as strong as the book of Acts. Amen. Think about it, church. We're heading into something that is twice as forceful as anything you read. You say, let's go back to the book of Acts. Forget it. Why go back to the early rain when we can look forward to the latter rain and the harvest rain that is going to come before this is all over? We're here talking about the end times, all right? I'm preaching to you about what's going to happen one day in the earth. So many people think the earth is just going to get darker and darker and darker, but I'm here to tell you that God's glory is going to fill the earth. And we are already seeing the first signs of it. Every time the Holy Spirit touches us, and every time we hear about something breaking out here or there, these are just the glimmers of what God has got for us in the end of time. God will open the floodgates of revival before the coming of the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now let me just tell you this. I get this from the scripture, but I love confirmations. I love it when God does little things in my life that, you know, his little winks where he just says, you're on track, you're doing good, this is what I want you to talk about. I'm always seeking the Lord about what we should be talking about in our church and what we should be praying about and what we should be doing as a church. I started talking to our staff about these verses a few weeks back, and I started getting on the trail of this thing about rain. And I guess you know that California is in a very serious drought. Everybody knows that, right? In our state, we're in a very serious situation because there hasn't been enough rain. I believe God would speak to us through that. I believe we've just done some crazy things in this state. And God says, oh yeah, try it without rain. Right? And it is time, it's time for us to seek the Lord. And so, you know, but here I've talked to the staff and we're in, what month is this? What are we in?
August.
That's a rainy month, right? Super rainy month. We're in a drought in the month of August. And Tuesday, I'm putting this message together. I just feel like this Sunday, I'm going to talk about rain and revival. And just something in my mind is that wouldn't it be cool if it rained? That doesn't happen. It's a drought, and it's August. And so I just thought, well, you know, I mean, it's in the Bible. I don't need this confirmed with a rainstorm. But here I am sitting in my office. In the mornings, I wake up. One of the first things I do is, especially in the summer, open the screen door so that I can let nice cool air come in and kind of cool the house and fill it with fresh air in the morning. So I had opened my side door in my porch, and I was in my study at home studying. And I thought, what? I heard this sound, and I thought, why is the sprinklers going on right now? Sprinklers usually, it's about 10 or 11 in the morning, and my sprinklers go on at 6 in the morning. Why do I hear water running? I hear stuff in the gutter. I hear, and I look out that patio door, and at my home, I don't know if it was raining here in San Jose on Tuesday morning, but I'm telling you, at 10, 11, 12 o'clock on Tuesday, as I studied this message, it was raining. Our sidewalks and our streets were wet, and I just said, Lord, are you confirmed? I feel like in the middle of a drought, in the middle of August, if God is pouring out rain on the day that I'm studying and preparing to preach on rain, maybe something's getting ready to happen in our life. Maybe God is just saying, hey, be patient, my brother, and be patient because the Lord is coming and there's an outpouring that is on its way to Gateway. There is an outpouring that's on its way to your family. There's an outpouring that's on its way to the city of San Jose. I believe this. The state of California. God isn't going to wad us up and throw us away like a dirty tissue. God has got plans for the state of California, and there is a praying, patient, and believing people in the state of California, and we believe not only will it rain naturally, but we believe it will rain spiritually. Somebody say hallelujah. Now you see how I got off track in the first service. But what I'm saying is, James is saying, before Christ's return, one thing is going to happen. There is going to be a Holy Spirit outpouring that is going to lead to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who wants to be a part of that in this room? I want to be a part of it, all right? If it's from God, I want it. Now, the second thing in this verse that we see James is telling us is going to happen is that before Christ returns, there is going to be a massive harvest of souls. Rain doesn't come for no reason. Rain comes for the reason of nurturing the harvest, all the seed that's been sown, a harvest of souls, a revival of millions. I believe before Christ returns, we are going to see millions and millions and millions of people come to faith in Jesus. Do you believe that? So this is what James is talking about, and he's on the authority of the prophet Joel. Verse 23 of Joel chapter 2 says the rain is going to come. And then verse 24 of Joel chapter 22 says this. The result of that rain will be the threshing floors will be filled with grain and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. What's he saying? There's no question about what he's saying. He's saying the rain is going to produce a harvest. The rain is going to water the grape, the vineyards, and the wheat fields, and everything just like it was in natural Israel. That second gusher rain that comes and pours out is going to flood the earth, and that flood is going to bring forth a mighty harvest in the earth. And isn't this just what Jesus said? Because when Jesus was talking about the end of time, he said this. He said in Matthew 13, verse 39, the harvest is the end of the age. We are living perhaps in a day, my precious brothers and sisters, we are living perhaps in a day where we are beginning to see the most massive move of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about just about revival and, you know, revival singing and revival praying and all of that. I'm talking about souls coming to the Lord. Now, I've been there. I've been in the underground church in China. I've met the apostles. I've been in their secret meetings. I've been in secret church meetings in Burma and other places in Asia. And when you see the facts and the figures of what is happening, for example, in China right now, you know that a mighty harvest is taking place. Today in China, just China, 30,000 people will come to faith in Christ just today. It happened yesterday. It will happen again tomorrow. It will happen every single day. Right now, the rate of conversion in China, this is not a Christian nation. This is not a nation of mega churches and revivals and evangelists and magazines and famous preachers. It's China. It's a communist country. The preaching of the gospel is outlawed. But in that place, God's rain is falling and the harvest is coming up. And it is uncontrollable, 30,000 new believers every single day. And I believe one day that kind of revival is going to touch the United States of America. This is why I'm not worried about the future of the church. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, the church is just about dead. In another 3 years, if it goes on like this, we're going to lose the whole thing. Don't believe those idiots. You think that what God is doing is going to fail? You're going to worry about the work of God? Listen, if God started it, he's going to finish it. And as sure as that early rain fell in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, a double portion of rain is going to fall, and that harvest is going to come up so violently and so suddenly, no man, no government, no religious person, no antichrist, nobody is going to be able to stop the revival and the harvest that God has scheduled in the earth. Can you say hallelujah? So we're on the winning team. I said to you in the beginning, we can live with hope.
Yes.
Don't be focused on Antichrist and 666 and how dark everything's. Oh, my grandchildren, how are they going to make it? Oh, my God. Let's build bomb shelters and let's hide and let's call. Oh, Jesus, come get me before the devil really takes over and shows what power is. God has something scheduled for this world that is twice as powerful as the day of Pentecost. And we may see it with our own eyes. I don't know when the Lord is coming, but I see little reports of revival and rain, and I see things happening. Millions and millions of people coming to Christ every day worldwide, and I believe that we are beginning to see this massive harvest of souls. So let me ask you this. I got about 10 or 12 minutes left. I did it again. I said I wouldn't do it. I said to the projector people, I said, I'm going to go a lot faster in this service, so stay with me. We're going to worship and sing. But what does this really mean? Okay, that's great, Candace Tracy. That's awesome. Revival, rain. What does this mean for me? What do I do with this? First of all, the Word of God is telling us that we must be patient.
Thank you, Lord.
We must be patient. This is how we should be living. Be patient, James says, until the coming of the Lord, like a patient farmer waiting for the harvest. That word patient means, do you think of yourself as a patient person? I'm not sure if you do or not. I have a hard time conceiving of myself as a patient person, meaning I don't get irritated or things don't bother me, but that's not what patience is. Patience means to be long of spirit. That means to be in it for the long haul. We're not pulling up our stakes the first discouraging report we get. We're not going to quit and say, well, I guess it didn't work. We give up. God, where are you? No, we're like soldiers on their watch. If you have an eight-hour watch and you're stationed, patience is your long of spirit. You just stand your ground. You just do your duty until your duty is done. And this is what James is saying. You stay with this. Because your labor is not in vain. Listen to me. Your giving is not in vain. Your prayer is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. You're praying for that loved one. You're praying for revival. You're praying for healing. You be long of spirit.
Yeah.
You might be in a dry season right now. Maybe God's blessing your socks off. I don't know. But maybe you're in a dry season right now. You be patient. Don't you get off your assignment. You stand your ground and you expect and believe, doesn't matter how dry it looks or how difficult it is, God Almighty has promised that there's going to be rain. So you keep planting your seed and you keep declaring, I'm going to have a harvest in my life. Right? Patience, right? What did Jesus say about the end times? He said that in the last days, sin is going to be rampant everywhere. There will be some crazy stuff going on, and believe me, we're seeing it. Okay. We're seeing some scary things in the earth, no question about it. Sin will be rampant, he said, and darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the one who endures to the end will be what?
Saved.
Listen, that's you. You're going to endure. You're going to make it. Amen. In the darkest of times, we're going to be experiencing God's glory in our lives. Isaiah said, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen on you." In the end times, the church will not be hiding under the couch, hoping for a heavenly evacuation. We're going to be people of miracles, people of power, people of glory, and people that are experiencing that outpouring from heaven. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So be patient. Turn to somebody and just say, be patient. And then also, what does this mean for us? It means we must preach. We don't have all kinds of time, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to be busy. We've got to be building churches. We've got to ramp it up. We got to kick it up a notch. We've got to communicate the gospel to people. I'm not satisfied for us to just be huddled together in a holy club, having waves of glory inside our little church services. Listen, the devil doesn't care how excited we get inside this. What he really wants us to stop, what he really fears, is once we get outside the building. Once we get outside the conference, get outside the special meeting, then in our workplace, on our campus, let me ask you, are you faithfully sharing with members of your family, the people that you love, are you sharing the gospel with them? Are you communicating the good news of Jesus Christ to people? God wants to open doors for you.
Right.
Are you bringing your children to church?
Amen.
Listen, you don't have, I don't have time. Listen, they don't feel like it. They don't want to come. Listen, you got to make a priority out of the things of God. We don't have forever.
Right.
We've got to share with our children. We've got to share with our neighbors. We've got to get the word of God into them. Because there is a spirit of slumber on the land. And people will just say, well, you know, we have plenty of time. Let's just have one more special song. Let's just have another potluck. A church is not a place of potlucks. A church is to be a catalytic force communicating the gospel. Everyone say the gospel. And while I'm just saying this, can I just say this? Let's keep the gospel as the center of everything that we do. Since we're talking about revival, here's what I see in so many places where they're professing and claiming revival. You could sit through a three-hour service and never hear the gospel one time. You can hear all kinds of revelations and all kinds of deep truths and people having all kinds of experiences. But let me tell you something, unless we're clearly explaining why Jesus came, there's no truth that's deeper or more important than the gospel. And I have even heard people say, let's move beyond the gospel. We have to move beyond that. Listen, I'm not moving beyond the gospel. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that is what is the power of God unto salvation. And you will never have the rain and you will never have harvest until you are born again. So we're going to preach the gospel. Yes, we're apostolic. I wrote a book on it. I wrote a book that started the whole thing, if you want to know the truth. My book started all the books about apostolic, and we believe in prophetic. We're having a prophetic conference. I'm not slamming any of that. I love revival. I want all that. My problem is that so many times the church gets off task
because we want to be deep or we want to be profound or we want to learn something new, and all of that is great, but we got to come back to the gospel. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. That's our message. That's our banner. That's our purpose. The church is a house of prayer, but the church is not about prayer. The church is a place of worship, but the church is not just for worship. The church is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the earth. Can I have a good hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And it's time for us to come back to gospel-centered living, gospel-centered churches, gospel-centered messages, messages that explain this is why Jesus died and this is why he rose again and here's what it means for you. And you can be born again and you must be born again. There is no message closer to the heart of Jesus than the explanation of why he bled and died on a cross. So I want to challenge you to be the person who shares the gospel. And if you have never received Christ or you're not sure that you are born again, you don't have the assurance of salvation, I want to challenge you to make extra sure today. Because we could talk about healing and we could talk about so many fantastic things, but Jesus is the gate. That's the beginning of the whole thing. And you don't ever outgrow Jesus. You don't ever graduate from the gospel. It's the same grace that brought you in that's going to keep you every day.
Yes.
The simple truth of God's love and his cleansing power and his redeeming power, that's what we must preach. And finally, I can't believe I still have 5 minutes left. I made up for time. I got there. I told you I'd get there, and I'm going to get there. We must pursue. You know how important this is. Come on, band. Come on in, and let's start heating this place up a little bit, because we're going to worship the Lord for a few minutes, and we're going to pray and cry out to God and ask. You know what I want us to do today? I want us to ask God for revival in your family. I want to see people in your family changed. I want to see people in our city and in our neighborhood changed. And how do we do that? We have to pursue the Lord. Here's what the promise says. Let us pursue. Everyone say pursue.
Pursue.
Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He will come to us like what?
Rain.
Like the what?
Rain.
Like the latter and the former rain to the earth. You know the greatest thing you can do? It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek him as never before. Maybe you're planning a business. That's awesome. I encourage you. I want to be an inspiration to you in your business life. Maybe you're planning a marriage. That is such a gift, such a glorious thing. Maybe you're planning a retirement. It's amazing. But here's the deal. If Christ isn't the center, If you're seeking a marriage or a business or a retirement more than you're seeking him, then you're going to have some hard times. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things are going to be added to you. God has such blessing for you, but there's an order to it. There's an order to it. What am I saying to us today? The message of revival and harvest gives us hope. It gives us focus. It gives us a purpose for our praying and our believing. And as we do that, as we pursue God, the rain is going to come. And guess what? With no pursuit, there is no rain. But as surely as you pursue God, you're going to see the rain in your life. How many are candidates for rain? We've been praying here on Saturdays. Just stand with me as we get ready to sing. We've been praying here on Saturdays. I don't know if it's just me. I've never felt a stronger physical thing in my body than what we've been feeling here on Saturday. I don't know. I believe God is doing something in our church. There's such an intensity, and we're crying out and we're saying, God, touch our city, touch our families. And it's just a simple time of prayer. It's just a simple, but I believe God wants to be sought this way. And as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, I just hear the Lord saying, there's hope. Don't give up. be long in patience. Don't stop with your preaching. Don't stop with your prayers. Keep seeking God, because something twice as strong is coming for you. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? I'm going to speak blessing over you. I'm going to pray for every dry marriage. I'm going to pray for every dry ministry. I'm going to pray for every dry soul in this room. Lord, I pray that something twice as strong will begin to invade our lives, Lord, from heaven. Some of us have been in the dry season, but Lord, I hear the sound of rain coming, Lord. And Lord, it's our cry and it's our prayer today that you would send forth the rain of heaven, that you would open the floodgates of heaven over our lives. Lord, as we seek you, would you water us and flood us? Come on, Pastor Nicole, let's sing together. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Lord, here we are, ready to receive the rain of your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the Pentecost moment of our lives. We thank you for the strong beginning that so many of us had in you. But God, we're looking for more, and we just cry out, Lord, for twice as much as we've ever known. Lord, pour out a double portion upon us, Lord. Lord, pour out prayer upon us as never before. Pour out upon us a passion, Lord, for the lost, Lord, as never before. Lord, give us a heart for your house and a heart for the kingdom as never before. Give us a love for children and the next generation as never before. Lord, let something happen in Santa Clara County that's never happened before. Lord, we want to see your outpouring come to visit our families and our homes, Lord. We cry out for miracles. We cry out for Book of Acts miracles, Lord, for a stirring, Lord, of all that you want to do in our lives, Lord. And we pray that that harvest would come to fruition, Lord. Now just take your hand and put it over your heart just like it's covering your spirit. Here's what I see. I see that germinating seed deep on the inside of you. You might feel like it's just been so long and you've just been so dry and dead, but I see with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, there is life on the inside of you. And it's ready to burst through. It's ready to come out. God has watered you. And I hear the Lord saying, the best is not behind you. The best is ahead of you. I have only begun. I have only begun in your life. I have only now begun. Do not let a few dry days, do not let a few fiery trials break your faith and take it away from you. Trust in me, for I am a faithful God, and I have planted and I will bring to fruition all of my good purpose for you. Seek after me with all of your heart, and I will water you, and I will finish what I have accomplished in your life, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for that right now. I just want to invite a few of our elders and a few of our prayer teams to just come forward at this time. I know we've got some things to do here. We're going to pray for the Costa family, all of the friends and family of Joaquin and Lindsay, who we love so much. We're going to pray for them. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you've been loving Jesus for a lifetime, I want you to put your eyes on this prayer that's on the screen. And we're going to say this prayer. I need a few more elders, a few more Christian workers here at the front. If anybody needs prayer at the end of the service, then we're going to pray for you. Let's say this prayer out loud. Father God, come on everyone. Father God, thank you for the promise of your glory filling the earth. I believe that one day revival will come, and I want to be ready. Lord Jesus, I trust you completely as my... Would you say that so strong like you mean it? Lord Jesus, I trust you completely as my personal Lord and Savior. Fill me with the patience and power I desperately need today. In Christ's name, amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we could be together today. I believe the message will give you hope that you're on the winning team. Amen. Let's go out there this week and let's kick the devil right in the lips. I mean it. I mean, let's live like the God of heaven is on the inside of us. Amen. Signs, wonders, miracles, faith. And if you're not seeing miracles every minute, be patient. because your blessing is on its way. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Check out the impact table. Check out the barbecue that's out in the parking lot. And those that are friends with Joaquin and Lindsay, just meet us up here. We want to just pray a blessing over the Costas as they go. God bless you. And if you need prayer, our prayer teams are here. If you have any need for prayer, come on forward.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.